You know, I'm just looking at the whole soldier in action. When you look at the soldier, and he has his sword, he's swinging his sword. When the dad comes, he's shielding the fairy dad with the shield. He's moving his legs around. And what is coordinating all these movements? How does he know how to shield the fairy dad? How does he know how to swing the sword? It is all a mind process. And I think about how important it is for us to guard our mind and our thoughts, and how important the helmet of salvation becomes. You know, in the medical field, we think about somebody with schizophrenia or somebody with bipolar disorder. This individual has well-functioning legs and arms. The heart is beating well. But the individual is totally powerless and without efficiency and effectiveness, because their mind has been rendered powerless. And how important it is for us to guard our mind, and how important it is for us to put on the helmet of salvation. I'm thinking about how useless the shield of faith will be, and how useless the sword of the Spirit will be, and how useless all the other bits of the armor will be if we do not put on the helmet of salvation.
Going back to what you were saying, Uncle Liam, before, about being careful, sometimes we're the exact opposite, and we knowingly put ourselves in a situation where we know it's not going to be good for us, where we know it's going to damage our spiritual lives. And the thing that I've been thinking about, mentioning all these pieces of armor so far, a sane soldier, at least, doesn't go looking for a fight. They only fight when they need to. And it's the same with us. We knowingly put ourselves in these situations, and it's almost like we're looking for, like, oh, we have this armor, so I can resist all these things. No, that's not how it works. You can't go looking for, you can't give an occasion to sin, is what we were told all the time. So really, it's good to have the armor, but because you have the armor, you shouldn't go, you know, looking to put yourself in a situation where you know you're going to be damaged spiritually.
Okay. Point well taken. One of the things that Brother Tony and Brother Emil have said, I just want to reiterate explicitly in that when it comes to the helmet of salvation, there really is an element of doctrine here. And that doctrine is the gospel. And one of the fiery darts that Satan is going to throw at us is one that attacks and makes us doubt the gospel. And Paul tells the Galatians, in chapter 1, verse 6, I'll just read it. He says, I marvel, absolutely marveled. He was amazed. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. The Galatians started to turn to a different gospel. Their helmet of salvation wasn't on. They were saved. You know, in Ephesians, we're not talking about salvation that saves you from your sins and brings you to eternal life. He's speaking to a saved people already. But what happens is, through incorrect doctrines, through incorrect beliefs, Satan will take our security in Christ, which is complete, it cannot be reversed, and start to make us doubt. Are we really saved? Do I have to work? And, you know, I never thought that that was a sin or a temptation that I would struggle with, right? And then I was reading Brother Brian's book. I don't know if any of you read it, Lords of Salvation. I was like, oh, I believe a lot of what he's saying. But he's saying, like, it's wrong. Those are wrong doctrines, right? People will slip doctrines in, like, are you sweating for Christ, right? If you're not sweating for Christ, if you're not bleeding for Christ, then are you really saved, right? Are you in Africa? If you're not in Africa, like, are you really living for God? Are you really saved? And, you know, it's those doctrines, they, you know, you read them and they sound so good. It's like, yeah, I got to live for Christ. Okay, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I have to pray again. Maybe I have to ask Christ into my heart again. And we really have to guard against those different doctrines. Those doctrines that will make us doubt our eternal security. And you know, the security is complete, but assurance is really that feeling that we have, right? We may not feel that assurance because different gospels from all around us will pull us in different ways. So protect our minds, know Scripture, know what the Gospel says, so that we can stand up, we can defend it, and we can live out the completeness of our salvation through our assurance of knowing that it's secure.
I want to finish, Emil, the thought you had in 2 Corinthians and tie it with something Brother David just said. So it's the how-to, right? How do I cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God? How do I bring into captivity? It is knowing the Word of God. So all of us, especially those who are older, we've sat in the classes that you're sitting in now, in high school and university. As Emil said, you sit and you listen to men. And you say, wow, man, this guy is good. I mean, what are you saying? I mean, it starts to make your mind shift. And at that moment, what you have to do is you have to bring into your mind the Word of God that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How do you bring that into your mind? If you don't know the Word of God, you can't. So ask yourselves, young people, when was the last time I memorized a verse in the Word of God? David says, thy word have I hid in my heart. You see, the Word of God takes entrance through the mind, but its effectiveness, its residence is in the heart. So when someone, you know, you sit and you listen, you have this music and words and music, and, you know, I don't care what style it is, there's error in it, because much of it is, again, connected to satanic influence. And they'll say things about the Son of God. And your mind should be able to say, what did he just say? No, that's not true. Because John 3:16 says he had one son, his unique son. Someone came to me and said, well, you know, somebody told me God had two sons and this and that and blah, blah. Sunday school. I said, well, let me ask you something. What's the first verse that you learned? He said, Brother Tony, I need an answer. I got to go back to it. I said, what's the first verse that you learned as a boy? Brother Tony, give me the answer. I said, what's the first verse? Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see how simple it is when you know the Word of God? So we want to challenge ourselves. Do I know the Word of God resonant in my mind and my heart? So that when I'm sitting, when I'm talking with my friends, when the professor is saying, oh, you weak mind, you still believe in evolution? Do you hear that class? Here's one of them. And you sit there and you say, the worlds were formed by the word of his power. And you're not shaken. And you cast down everything that exalts itself. Right? Knowledge of God. That is how you do it, young people. There's no other formula. There's no other way. But when you know the Word of God, that is bringing the Word of God into that situation so that you can place the mind, the wickedness of men, right low, and you exalt the things of Christ in your mind.
Brother Tony, I just want to say this. You mentioned that the gates for everything is through the mind. It's mostly the eyes and the ears. So I would suggest that in light of all what we heard, because they're all true in relation to heaven's salvation. We were told earlier, don't look for trouble. We have enough attacks from the enemy for me to give him help, for me to look for it as well. I'm glad for that. So what's the solution? Psalm 119, keep my eyes from beholding vanity. So don't look for it. Keep my eyes from beholding vanity. That's what the psalmist have requested. But if we have another choice, beholding the glory of the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and the last few verses, we shall be changed from glory to glory. So I have a choice. I can look for trouble, or I can pray, keep my eyes from beholding vanity and look at something else. And the hearing, it always struck me that in the Old Testament, when they anointed the priest, one of the things that they anointed was the ear, the right ear.
Right.
So, you know what, let's keep these ears anointed in the sense of allow us to filter in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we hear something, we're going to go through education. There's no escape from it.
Right.
We're going to hear certain things. We cannot just, you know, it's gonna come.
Mm.
But to keep the ears anointed, to keep the ears sanctified in relationship with what goes in, that would be the challenge. So it's all what we have heard was remarkable this morning so far. I am thankful as well. And if I may suggest, could we have a hymn break and then continue the reading just to have a little movement.